Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
This is a Gamertag Radio exclusive.
All right, this is Paris. I am here at the Anthem Capture event right before the VIP demo is about to release. So, you know, I had to go get someone to talk more about the game because I've been waiting to do this forever, is anyone that's been listening or watching me. So, got someone from BioWare. So, can you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's great to be here. My name is Sila Costa. I am producer for Anthem.
Thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me. So, I said at the beginning that I've been waiting to do this forever because I think when did Anthem debut? 2014 is when you started talking about it up in there somewhere?
Maybe a little bit further than that, maybe 2015, I think. That's okay. When we started mentioning that we had something, like they were working on Anthem. Maybe it was not even called Anthem at that time.
Yeah, because I remember being at E3 and there was some concept stuff of this sci-fi, you know, open world game that was going to come out and they didn't say it was Anthem at the time. But the reason I bring that up is because I've just been talking over the past few years, what is Anthem? What is this game going to be about? We've obviously seen some information and now it's, you know, starting to come out in droves. But I just remember maybe even about 4 or 5 months ago, I had a little rant on our show because I'm like, I don't know what this game is. What is BioWare doing? I need to know what Anthem is. So please, everyone that's listening or watching this, talk about Anthem. What is Anthem? What can we expect?
All right. So let's go back to the beginning of Anthem. So try to imagine that there is a world where the gods were making that world, and for some whatever reason that you don't know why, they left in the middle of the creation process. And they left the tools that they used to create, that reshape the world, they left the tools there. So those tools are called the Shapers, like the Shaper Ruins, the Shaper Relics. In this world where you live in, you are a pilot, you are a freelancer, and that means that you have special abilities. And you can control a javelin exosuit. Those javelin exosuits, only special people can control and drive, let's say drive, pilot those javelin suits. They give you superpowers, right? So you can fly, you can hover, you can attack your enemies, you can smash them out, things like that. In the world of Anthem, those Shaper Ruins, they create strange things, right? So they may look, for example, they can make like creatures behave in a different way and even mutate somehow, mm-hmm. and they become like super, super dangerous. In order to protect themselves, humanity created the forts. One of the forts is called Fort Tarsis, which is exactly where you live, right? If you're behind the walls of Fort Tarsis, it looks like a normal city, I would say. Maybe a little bit cramped, sort of like a submarine, a lot of people in a small space, as you've probably seen.
Yeah.
And when you're there, you can interact with all the NPCs and other peoples and get to know more about the factions, like the Sentinels, the Arcanists, or the Freelancers. Again, like I said, that you are a part of the Freelancers. You're one of the Freelancers. And the Freelancers have that special duty of taking care of humanity, right? Like, they don't go to, like, the Sentinels. The Sentinels are kind of the police of the city, so they deal with, like, smaller things, like, smaller problems. But you are dealing with the big problems. So you have to help, like, the Arcanists, which are the scientists, to find out, like, okay, what are those Shaper Ruins? Like, how do they turn on? How do they turn off? And you realize that there is something called the Anthem of Creation, which is the center power, the power that starts everything in those Shaper Ruins and Shaper Relics. And it is, you don't know why or how it works, but you know that that's the thing that turns on all those Shaper machines. And they mutate also, the creatures that are living, yep, in the world. So you kind of have to help the Arcanist to research and understand more about the world. As you're doing that as a freelancer, then you realize that there is a new threat coming from the north called the Dominion. It's a new faction, humans also, led by one antagonist, I would say, called the Monitor. And the Monitor is coming, and they are destroying everything, conquering everything. They want to devastate everyone in front of them. So clearly, you kind of now, as a freelancer, it's part of your duty now to protect your fort, protect the Fort Tarsus from the attack of the Dominion force. You don't know why they're attacking. You don't know what's their plan, what they're trying to do. And that's part of the game. So now you need to protect your city, and you also have to find out, along with the Arcanist, like, how can you control, if you even can control, the Anthem of Creation.
Now, I want to get into the javelins in just a second, but just everything that you're explaining right now is BioWare's pedigree is story. So how critical is the story going to be to Anthem? And when I say, of course, at launch, you're going to have your campaign, you're going to have a story that you're going to tell. But, you know, this is a living game. This is, you know, a live game that, you know, you plan for people to be playing 6 months from now, a year from now. There's going to be new content. So how critical is the story going to be at launch, and how critical will that story be, like I said, let's say 6 months from now?
I would say that the story is as critical as you want, depending on your play style, right? If you are someone that just wants to go in and have like all the action, you don't like narrative or you don't care about it, that's fine. I'm like, you can go in and make a lot of missions, do the contracts, do the missions, do the critical path, and then get the strongholds. And you can have all the fun you want without getting, let's say, connected to the story.
Yeah.
If that's your play style. If you do, on the other side, I'm like, really like to know more about the story and the lore of the world. Why we're here? Why do we care? Who are those different characters that I have here in Fort Tarsus? So yes, there is a lot of options for you. For example, inside Fort Tarsus, you're going to find the three characters that you interact more often because they are like your crew members. You have Haluk. He's a pilot of a Strider. You have, and he used to be a freelancer, by the way. Also have Faye. She's a cipher, and you have Owen, which is your cipher, right? Yeah. So Owen is kind of like the, let's say, the co-pilot. When you go to your expeditions, the cipher is going to be always connected with you and helping you during the missions, right? So those are the main characters you're going to get involved with. But you also have some other agents that you're going to find inside Fort Tarsus. Like, for example, the Corvus agent called Tassin. She's really powerful. She's kind of like a sort of a CIA, if you may. And she's actually the one that gives you your very first javelin in the game once you come back from the beginning of your very first two expeditions, right? You're also going to find other agents like the Sentinels. Like Sentinel Bryn is one example. Yarrow, which is a freelancer. And Matthias, which is an Arcanist. So if you help those three factions and you start like interacting with those characters, you're going to get more missions and more things that you can do. And some things are going to be unlocked as well inside the Fort Tarsus.
Now, going to the javelins, while we've been playing, I've been playing a lot with the Colossus, and I've dabbled a little bit with the Storm and the Ranger as well, but there's four different javelins, so can you kind of go into those a little bit? What are some of just the main differences we can expect playstyle-wise?
Definitely. Definitely. We wanted our players to be able to choose how they wanted to play in the world of Anthem, and part of the choice starts with selecting your javelin. Do you want to play as a ranger, which is an all-around kind of a soldier? He can, you know, snipe enemies from afar. He can go close and melee with enemies right in here in their face. So that's something that the ranger can do. You also have the Storm. The Storm is more like a kind of a wizard, a mage that stands a little bit more in the back, has a lot of power but doesn't have a lot of health and shield. The Storm, he can use like elemental powers like ice, electricity, fire, and also wind to control and create like very powerful combos for himself and for the team that he's playing with as well. Another class that we have is the Interceptor. Interceptor is sort of like the ninja. Like if you like to get in the face and just like jumping around, being super agile and smashing the enemies in the face. Yeah, that's your class. That's the Interceptor. And finally, we have the Colossus. The Colossus is a more heavy class, so it's kind of the tank. He has a really big shield. He has abilities that he can aggro enemies towards him. He can use like control, like a flamethrower, for example. I love the flamethrower for the Colossus. So you can be a tank. And even within those javelin suits. I'm like, you can create different loadouts that are going to change the playstyle. So you can have a Colossus that it's like definitely like a tank, but you can create also a Colossus that is more in the back with an artillery shell and like a sniper rifle, if that's what you prefer to be. And it depends on your playstyle and also the expeditions that you're facing, because some of the enemies may be more resistant to this kind of attack or that kind of attack, right? So you have to strategize with your team what kind of loadout you're going to take, even if you're taking always the same javelin suit.
That's great. And like I said, I've been having a blast today playing the game. And I bring that up because, like I said, I was pretty critical of the game, you know, 5-6 months ago when I did not know what it was and I was just making assumptions. But now that I've actually had hands on with it, the first thing that sticks out to me is the verticality of the game. Like the fact that you're in these javelins and you're able to just fly around the world. If I look up and I see something, I can go to it. I can get to it. I can use the verticality of the world at, you know, to my advantage when I'm fighting enemies. I don't need to be on the ground when I have a bunch of dogs or other enemies coming at me. Get up high, hover in the sky, do those type of things. The weapons is something else that's actually that surprised me because, and you know, we've been playing lower level characters here with this VIP demo, but just the different variety of weapons that I've seen drop in the world. So I've played other games in this space, which are, you know, looter shooters that, you know, the main function is to get weapon drops. And I've seen a variety of different things. But the question I have for you is, as we move up level wise, as we get closer to the end of the game, I've seen a crafting function. What can people expect on weapon variety and just the different options they're going to be able to have as far as, let's take this as an example. So let's say if I got a level 10 shotgun, but now I'm at level 25. And it has a particular role on it. Am I going to be able to keep that role? Am I going to be able to upgrade that weapon and keep it with me with that same role? Or am I going to have to rely on RNG to get another drop when I get to level 25?
Okay, so first let's speak about the loot drops, and that's going to lead into the progression of the weapons and crafting. In terms of loot drops, you have a pilot level, right? So you start at level 1 and you go all the way to the cap, which is level 30 at launch. As you're leveling up, let's say you're level 5, like every time you go on an expedition, you're going to have loot drops that are relative to your pilot level, right? So you have a very small chance of getting like a super high gear, but it's super, super small chance of getting that.
Right.
But you have a really great chance of having, let's say, drops of level 5, 6, and 7, or maybe even 8, right? So that means that as much as you're playing, you continue to play, usually you're going to get like drops that are more meaningful for the level that you are. And we kind of incentivize the player to actually change and try new stuff, try new weapons or try new weapon types, right? And after some point, I'm like, when you get to level, let's say 10 or 20, that's when we think that the players are going to start like using the crafting. Because now the XP curve, like it's going to be take a little bit longer for you to grow, right? Like let's say you have like a fast level up from let's say 1 to 10. From 10 to 20, of course, I'm like it starts getting slower, right? And from 10 to 20, we think that now you're going to start like thinking more about like crafting because you have a bunch of resources that you already collected in your missions, and we're going to get to the blueprints because you're doing the challenges. So there are challenges in the game called the trials. You do those trials, you get as a reward, you're going to get like those blueprints for crafting better weapon. And that's when the player has the agency to choose what he wants to do. Because I'm like, if I like a sniper rifle, then I'm going to craft a sniper rifle if I'm not getting the drops, right? Mm-hmm. Not just going to wait for the perfect drop to happen. Therefore, I can start crafting the weapons that I want direct in my playstyle.
Okay.
After you get to level, let's say 20 to maybe 30, that's when we have like another horizon for you. So that's what we call the rolling horizons. We always try to give you a new goal for you, a new horizon to chase. We think that once you get to level 20, that's when you're starting to get all the epics and you're going to start having your very first like masterwork items, like really powerful weapons and things like that. And those weapons, the masterworks, I'm like, they're going to have what we call the inscriptions. And those inscriptions are going to give like those extra bonus that are important for you, maybe 20% more damage or 15% more ammo or things like that are going to, depending on your playstyle, be more meaningful or not. And that's when crafting is going to be even more important because you're going to start like, okay, now I really want to craft and see if I can get like something better. But that's also going to, beyond that, I'm like, you also need like better materials. And in order to get those, you're going to play at higher difficulty levels. So you're going to challenge yourself and you're going to get better rewards because you're doing so. So it's kind of a cycle that we're always giving you a new goal and making you have the choice, the path to go in the direction that you want with your play style. Like I said, I'm like, if I want sniper rifles, I can always go searching for sniper rifles.
Oh, excellent. So you bring up difficulty levels. That was something else that I observed while we were playing. So we were playing on hard difficulty, and it was a great challenge for us. It was nice. We're having fun. You know, we were dying. I didn't feel like we were just blowing through the content. And we actually had to communicate and strategize to get through it, which was great. What are the various levels that people can expect when they're playing the game?
Yeah, so when you start a game, like, you have the easy, normal, and hard difficulty levels unlocked. After you get to actually level 30, that's when we're going to start unlocking the new difficulty levels for you. So that's the new goal for you, right? Like, you get there, you're going to have the Grandmaster difficulty. And of course, if you play at that difficulty, it's going to be super tough, but also you're going to get, like, way better rewards or chance of getting Masterwork drops and things like that. After you get a little bit further, then we unlock, like, Grandmaster 2 and Grandmaster 3. So we're always going to give you, like, a new challenge so that you can you can continue to compete and also get, like, better items that are going to allow you to create to complete, like, even more difficult expeditions.
Okay, so one other thing, just sticking on that. So while we're playing, you know, we group up, four of us go into the world. Let's say it's just two of us. We go into a mission and we're playing. Are we going to be able to bring people in mid-mission, invite them into the match and play with us? Kind of a drop-in, drop-out scenario.
Yeah, okay. So we are trying to make, like, that you can play with your friends in a very seamless way, right? It's a co-op game. And even if you don't want to play with your friends, but you want to play with new people that you don't know, like, you can also. Like, if you want to play with friends of friends, you can. So what we try to do, let's say that you and me, we're online and you start playing the game, and I see that you're online because we're friends, and let's say that we're friends, then I can just, like, jump into your mission, like, right away. I can see that you're playing and just go, like, hey, I'm going to join Paris, and here I go. And then I just join you and I'm there. I'll help you with your mission. I'm not going to get that story completion, right? For my story, because I'm jumping into your story, your
okay,
choice.
Okay.
Right? So I'm not going to get that story completion, but I get all the rewards from the mission. So I'm helping you. I still get rewards relative to my pilot level, right? So that works. If I want to play with my friends, let's say, from the start, then let's say that I have What Freelancers Do, which is one of the missions available, and you also have What Freelancers Do available for you, and we say, let's play that mission, we both get that story as marked as complete, right? So that can happen as well when we go play. We also have, like, matchmaking filters that make you, let's say the two of us are playing, and we say, yeah, we just want to play the two of us, we put it in private mode, and we play, and that's fine. If we leave it in public mode, then maybe other friends can join, or maybe friends of friends can join, right?
With that, like you're saying, a matchmaking. So, like you said, I have it left to public. It's just me and one other friend playing. Would someone automatically join, or would they have to seek us out to actually join the session that
we're
in?
It depends. I'm like, so as a player, you can, let's say that there is a third player, Johnny, and Johnny, he got online and he goes, like, well, I just want to play whatever. I don't care. Like, I just want to play a mission. And he can go to quick play mode and say, quick play mission. I don't care which mission it is. And let's say that Johnny is your friend, right? Not necessarily my friend, but he's your friend,
right,
in the whatever platform we're playing. So Johnny says, like, I'm looking for a mission. And we just started a mission, you and me. Therefore, the matchmaking at that time goes, like, hey, this guy is looking for a mission. You guys have a spot available. You're in public mode. Yeah, let's put him in. So he can drop in and help us to complete that mission. He gets the rewards, and we get the rewards as well. And we got also the completion of the story, because that's the point that we were, right? In the example that I was giving, the What Freelancers Do. So there are many different ways that we can have people join in your game or not join in your game if you want to, right? I think I covered most of the scenarios with that example, I think.
Well, one thing I want to go back to that you mentioned, it was a scenario we ran into earlier. We had a contract that we were doing, and the person I was playing with, he had actually accepted the contract, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. So we did it, we cleared it, but then I had to go back and actually do it again to, quote unquote, get credit for it. So I'm trying to understand why, and I understand that there's story spoilers, because I think at one point I even saw, hey, if you're going to do this, potentially it could be a spoiler. I understand that, but if I'm willing to accept that this is potentially could spoil the story, why make me replay it to actually get credit for it to progress, when I could just say, the game should say, oh, he already did that. All right, I'm just going to go ahead and unlock the next scenario behind it.
Yeah, the reason for that design decision was that we don't know exactly. There are many different scenarios that can lead to that example mm-hmm. that you gave. For example, we both played Lost Arcanist, and I went and spoke with Yero, and I have what freelancers do available for me. You didn't do that. You didn't have a conversation with Yero, right? And then I go like, hey, Paris, let's go play what freelancers do. I can invite you. Hey, come to my squad. I'm like, let's play with me. And you can come and play with me. You can play a mission ahead of your story anytime mm-hmm. because for us, it's what we call the our role, your story. In terms of our role, I'm like, you're going to be able to play any story if you want to, as long as someone that has that story unlocked for you is inviting you.
Okay.
So that's the principle that we have. And in terms of your story, it means that I am the one that controls when I want to advance my story. So we're not forcing you to advance. Because what can happen is that, let's say that you play that mission with me, what freelancers do, and then, I don't know, for a week you didn't play, you're working, and then when you come back, you go like, oh yeah, I want to play now. And suddenly the game skips that story for you. You go like, oh, what actually happened? I don't remember what happened okay. here. So we accept in the fact that if you're trying to play a story that you're not, it's not unlocked for you yet, you understand that you're playing and you're going to see the content, of course, of the mission. But the story, I'm like, if you want to unlock for your story, it's on your own time when you have it unlocked for you. If you want to play together at the same time, then both of you have to have it unlocked in order for the story to advance
right,
at the same time.
Right, at the same time. No, it makes sense. I just wanted to understand what the thought process was behind that, because we're like, wait a minute. We just did it. Why do I have to go do it again? But I understand your point on that as far as story progression goes. Now, I want to skip ahead to something, and I know this is obviously going to be way post-launch, but I want to kind of talk a little bit about endgame, because for me, endgame is very important in these type of games, because let's just be real. Someone like myself, people that are here at this event, we're going to chew through this content very quickly. That's just what's going to happen. So what is there going to be for me a month from now, 3 months from now, 6 months from now that I can expect that has me coming back to Anthem every day, every week, every month to want to continue progressing in the game?
Yeah, so Anthem was developed by two studios within BioWare. We have the BioWare Edmonton studio and we have the BioWare Austin studio. The team from Austin, I'm like, as you may know, and your fans might know, they have been developing the Star Wars The Old Republic MMO for probably like 6 years or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of experience not only managing, well, creating an MMO in the first place, but also running an MMO as a live service
yeah.
for years. Right? That means that they learn the best ways to communicate with the community, hear their feedback, not only have a roadmap for the year, but also changing the roadmap if they realize that, hey, suddenly the community wants more of this kind of a content. Let's then change our plans and let's do more of that, because that's what they're interested to see. And how they play and how to adapt the game for the new play styles and new entertainment also. Because I'm like, if you look like 6 years ago, Fortnite didn't even exist. I don't know. Right. Twitch was not yeah. what it is today, you know?
Yeah, it's a different world
YouTube
now.
Streaming didn't exist, mm-hmm. I think. 6 years ago, I don't think it existed yeah. at all. So it's a different world, exactly. The way that we consume entertainment changed as well. So the team from BioAustin is going to be leading our live service plan for Anthem, which is great for us. I'm like, they already have that experience and they have the tools that we created for Anthem to create new content with the systems that we have in place to create new content like faster and many different types of content faster. So we do have a very solid plan. I don't want to give spoilers because that's part of the...
Oh, of course, I understand that.
Part of the surprise element yeah. that we want to give. But there is like... what I can say is that we have a few different teams already working on the content that we're going to release post-launch. Since like last year, since November last year, October last year, we already have people working on that content that is going to be released. So you can expect that things are going to change, that it's going to be a dynamic world, and we're going to drop like many different types of content from narrative, from like new areas, from new enemies that you're going to find, And even the way that the world behaves in some of the old creatures and old spaces that you already use, they will change as well.
And see, and I think that's just very important, everything that you're saying, because for me, like I said, I didn't know what this game was going to be, you know, 5 months ago. What is Anthem? And obviously, you guys have been doing a lot of live streams lately. And like I said, we're here at this event. The demo is about to come out, so everyone in the world will get a chance to be able to play it. But for me, like I said, it's very important that there is some type of roadmap that we understand. Not that you need to spoil what the content is, but that we know it's coming. So that I'm like, okay, here's my incentive to keep playing. What you talk about, masterwork gear, things like that. I know that if the more I ramp up the difficulty and the more I go back and do these challenges, that there's that piece of loot out there that I'm chasing. Like, as an example, I don't know, I'm just making up a random name, the Anthem Masterwork Railgun, right? Like, okay. This is like the ultimate weapon in the game, and I have to do X, Y, and Z in the end game to be able to obtain that. Now that's that carrot on the stick for me to keep going back. I'm going to go through these steps to be able to do it. Like, I don't know. Like I said, I played a contract today. So if there are going to be like quest type items, things, loot specific gear that we'll be able to chase once we get to the end of Anthem, into the end game of Anthem,
We're always going to give you like new horizons to chase. That's for sure. And new ways to get there. So when you get to the end game, like, we expect people to be playing the three strongholds that are unlocked at launch.
Yeah.
We expect people to be playing the contracts, like the generic contracts and the what we call the legendary contracts that the three agents can give you if you completed their story.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you're going to be able to play free play, where is the best place for you to get a new resources as well, right? So you have those three elements of the end game. And we are going to add like the new content that is going to come in. And again, I'm like, we have a roadmap. We're just not releasing the roadmap now for the public because we want people to start like playing the game, playing the demo. And as soon as maybe when we're close to the February 22nd, when we're releasing the game, then we can start talking about the roadmap and the things that we're going to do after we launch the game. Because I mean, we feel that if we start discussing about this now, you had the chance to put your hands on control and you can understand that. But a lot of people don't necessarily have that chance yet. And they're like, well, I don't know what Anthem is about. I don't know if I like that live plan. Let's let them play first. Let them feel the game, feel the verticality, feel what's unique about Anthem. And then from that point on, I'm like, then we can start talking about like what we're going to deliver in terms of live plan. What I can tell you is that we do have that roadmap. It's just that we're going to release it like closer to the launch date.
Oh, excellent. Again, this is why I'm here to ask these questions. Like, this is my chance. So I want to talk about the actual demo and what people can expect in just a second. But one other thing I forgot to ask before was free play. So a couple questions on that. First and foremost, when we go into free play mode, whoever I have in my group, we're the only players that are in the world at that time. We won't see other players in the world.
Not necessarily. So free play, when you go into free play, you're going into a dedicated server where you can find, well, like four players can be there at any time.
Yeah.
So if you have a group of two, you and me, then yes, maybe we're going to find like another two players that are random. They're just playing in the role.
Okay.
It could be that it's just you and me, but it could be that other players are going to show up and leave at whatever time. But at max, I'm like, we're going to have four players in that dedicated server, right? We can together, even if we're not like in the same squad, let's say that we found like there was a road event, there was an Ash Titan that just showed up. Yeah. We can find that Titan and get the rewards. We all get the rewards. That's fine. We get the experience as well. We're not in the same squad, but we can fight together if we want to. And we can also just decide that, you know what, we want freedom. Like, I want to go into a different direction. You go into a different direction. That's fine. Also, you can go wherever you want to put. That's why we call free play. You do whatever you want in free play. But again, I'm like, you don't have, it's up to four players in free play, regardless of the size of your group, right? Like if your group has two, then on another two people can join.
Okay. Makes sense. I just wanted to get clarification on that. And you just brought up world events. That kind of led me into the next thing, kind of explain what world events are. And then also in free play, like we ran into a Titan. I was like, whoa, we're too under level for this. So let's get out of here kind of thing. So are there other surprises like that, or are there things that we can discover, like loot, as an example, gear, quests, etc., just out in free play in the world?
Yeah, so in free play, I'm like, as you said, I'm like, we have what we call the world events. It means that you're just flying and exploring the world with your friends, and suddenly you may have a call from your raider, from your cipher, saying, "Hey, freelancer, I just noticed that there is a disturbance here close to you. Mm-hmm. I'm sending you the location." Or maybe like some Arcanists need your help, or maybe, hey, it looks like there is an Ash Titan here, right? So the cipher is going to help and give you the call. You can decide if you want to engage with that world event. You can say, well, you know what? Like, I don't want to. I saw the Ash Titan. I think we're on the level. Let's just keep going to the other direction here. That's your call. You do that, and then the freelancer, the cipher is going to tell you, like, okay, I'm going to send some other freelancers to deal with that the Titan.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. But you can also say, you know what? I'm going to engage with that event. I'm going to help those Arcanists that they're needing help here. And then you engage there, and you get the, if you complete the mission, you get the XP, you get the loot. And depending on the role events that you find, you're going to have like different types of rewards also from completing the mission, right? Not only the XP. And that's what we want players also to do, because different role events are going to show up at different parts of the map. But not only in different parts of the map. It depends also on the, is it day? Is it night? I'm like, is it raining?
Yeah.
Like, you know, is it like, did you go underwater and find like something that was open, that wasn't open before? So there are a bunch of different things that we can do with this dynamic role of Anthem, that we want the freelancers to explore and have fun discovering those hidden secrets too.
Now, last couple things, I promise. So the VIP demo itself, what can people expect when they get hands on with that? What is going to be included in the demo?
Yeah, so the demo, the Anthem demo is divided into 2 weekends. The first one is the VIP demo, and the second one is the, what we call the official demo, right?
Yeah.
So the second weekend is open for everyone, right? That's anyone can go in
right.
The PC platform or PS4 or Xbox One, and they can download the demo and play the demo. The first one, which is called the first weekend, which is the VIP weekend, the VIP demo, it's only for people that already pre-ordered the game. Or for subscribers of EA Access,
yeah.
Or some VIP friends,
yeah.
Right? If you do have one of those VIP codes, you can put the VIP code, and what you're going to expect when you go play the demo is that you're going to find, first of all, we give you a slice of the finished game from the middle of the game, right? From the middle of the game. So you're going to be level 10. You're going to start with a level 10. You're not going to go through the tutorials or anything. Mm-hmm. Basically, you're going to start as a level 10. We're going to give you a specific javelin for you, but you're going to unlock a new javelin when you get to level 12. And we're going to cap you at level 15. So you go from level 10 to 15. We give you five levels to explore. We give you the middle of the game, and you give you 3 missions from the Matthias, which is one of the Arcanists. So you have 3 missions, the triple threat story arc from Matthias. So you play that those 3 missions. You can also play free play in the demo. And you also have one stronghold, if I remember correctly.
Okay, good, yeah. Good. That's good, excellent. So final question, a little two-parter here. Has to just deal with community, and I know people will kill me if I don't ask this, microtransactions. So in Anthem, what can we expect? Are microtransactions, are they just clearly cosmetic? Are they in the game at all? What would the case on that be?
Well, so that's something that it's actually an easy question for me, to be honest with you, because like since Mass Effect 3, when we worked at, and I was working on Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 3, I was the last
Mass Effect 2
Mass Effect 3.
Is one of the greatest games of all time, by the way. just have to say that.
I love Mass Effect 2 too. So on Mass Effect 3, when we created the multiplayer part of Mass Effect 3, we had microtransactions in the game. And our philosophy since then was like, we need to be fair to the consumer. We need to be fair. So if you play for an hour, you're going to have enough in-game credits for you to buy, at the time, a loot box, when loot box was not something bad. You're going to buy a loot box, and it's going to give you like good stuff, right? So as long as you're playing, you can always get a loot box. And as long as you're playing, you can unlock pretty much all the weapons in the game. We're not going to lock anything behind a paywall,
yeah.
Right? So if you want a level 10 Black Widow, great. I'm like, just like keep playing. And every hour you're going to get like a golden box. And those golden boxes are going to give you chances of getting that Black Widow that you so much want. So that philosophy didn't change for us. The difference now is that instead of like in back in Mass Effect 3 days, I'm like, there was power involved, right? Like there was like you're giving a weapon, and now we're just giving cosmetic items for the player. So if you open the store now in Anthem, you're gonna find like different items that are gonna, let's say, a new animation. Maybe it's a new animation, maybe it's a new victory pose, or maybe you want a different vinyl for your, mm-hmm. your javelin suit, or maybe a different material that you can apply, right? You want to look like in a silk cape with your storm, for
yeah.
example. So we want to give you the ability for you to personalize and change how you look and make yourself unique, right? So And how can you get that? Well, you can use real money, but you can use also the in-game currency. And that's something that we have been balancing the last like 6 weeks, like extremely hard. We have been balancing that because we want to make sure that the curve is fair so that as long as you're playing, you can keep on buying whatever cosmetic items you want. But of course, like we have a lot of cosmetic items. So
right.
If you want to have them all, then you're going to have to play a lot, to be honest, to get
them
all.
But it's like you're saying, if I play the game, I can earn the item that I want. And I think honestly in today's world and just the way gaming works now, that's fair. I don't think anyone can complain about that. So as long as you're not locking anything behind a paywall that you can never have that particular cape as an example unless you buy it, I'm fine with that. I think anybody in the community would be fine with that.
And that's exactly the philosophy that I mentioned before. We want to be fair front and foremost, right? Like we want to make sure that if you're playing the game, you can unlock, you can direct the way, and it's direct purchase, by the way. I'm like, I forgot to mention that, which is important, I guess, nowadays. You can pick exactly what you want to buy, right? I want to buy exactly that cape. I want to buy
the
exactly
loot box,
that
orange, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to be a random drop for you.
Great, great. So final thing on this that I'd like to say is I want to know how important is community collaboration, not only to BioWare, but just the game Anthem itself, because, you know, I feel like, again, other games in this space, listening to the feedback from the community, especially early on when you, because let's just be honest here, the game, everything's not going to be in the game day one. I mean, that's not fair to a live service game. So how important is that community feedback going to be early on for shaping what Anthem's going to be in the future?
It is extremely important. It is extremely important for us to have that communication with the community. As you can see, I'm like, if you follow us on Twitter, like you can see that Mark there, the executive producer, or the lead producers like Mike Gambo, Ben Irvin, like they have been on Twitter like all the time explaining, like, and answering a bunch of questions about Anthem. We're trying to be extremely transparent with the community about what game, what Anthem is and what Anthem also is not. So we don't want to, like, you know, like, get you by surprise and say, oh my God, I'm like, I thought the game was about this and I'm not happy now. No, we want you to know what Anthem is and what it isn't. And that's why we're also giving the demo for players to try it out. We want people to just try it out, see if that's something that you like. If you like, great. If you don't like, that's okay too. Like, we're not going to force anyone into buying them or buying Anthem or anything like that. So we have been very open with the community, and we are receiving that feedback from the community as well, and incorporating some of the things that they have been mentioning already. We also bringing in some people like the influencers, for example, the game, what we call the game changers, right? Like you guys that understand games like really well and can come here and can give like really good feedback for us early, not today, like one day before the demo,
right.
But you guys have been giving that feedback, yeah. Like, as you know, like for like months and months and ago. And that feedback, like we used to put into the back in the game and change the way that the weapons work, changing the way that the aiming works, or the traversal works, or the javelin looks. We have been putting all those changes already in, so we're already doing that. Of course, I'm like, we didn't open up for the whole community at first, but we selected a few people first that would represent the community.
Yeah.
And as soon as the game goes live, of course, then we're dealing with the entire community as well.
Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time to sit here and talk to me about this game. Like I said, not that I needed to be convinced, I just needed to see what Anthem was. Now I know what Anthem is. There's a lot of things about it I absolutely enjoy that's going to be available day one. Some things, you know, I'm like, hey, maybe change this or that. But that's why I say it's very critical that, you know, you're listening to the community and you're gathering that feedback. And I think not only from the BioWare standpoint, but even from on my side of the fence, community standpoint, we need to understand that no game's going to be perfect day one. I don't expect that at all. But from what I've played, I'm having fun. And I think that's the most important thing. I'm having fun. There's some things that, you know, I wish would change, but, you know, those things can happen with time.
And you're totally right about not getting it right on the first try. I'm like, it's extremely difficult, especially for a new IP. I'm like, I worked on Mass Effect 2. I worked on Mass Effect 3. I worked on Dragon Age Inquisition. And all those sequels, I'm like, it is way easier for us because we can, you know, like read the reviews. We can speak with the fans.
Yeah.
And we can speak with ourselves and talk to ourselves and discuss and say, okay, those are the things that I would like to improve as well. Maybe the fan doesn't realize the impact of that change here, but later he's going to understand because of X, Y, and Z. So we could combine all those three aspects of reviews and things that we needed to improve. And it was, let's say, quote unquote, like easier to make that new game. When you're making a new IP, it is tough. It is tough because there is absolutely. No right or wrong answer, right? Like people have like all sort of opinions, and like there is no right or wrong, especially if you're trying to make something that it is different. I'm like, we're not trying to, you know, like copy this game or that game, or we're trying to make a unique game. Anthem is different. There is a lot of verticality, a lot of freedom in the way that you play, a lot of choice. And some things are going to be, we're going to hit on like the nail in the head, right? But some other ones, we're going to miss it. And that's okay. As long as we understand that when we're missing, we acknowledge that, and we have that transparency with the community, and we hear the feedback, and we try to improve things as the game goes on, right? As with the live service. So that's, I think that if we keep that philosophy, I'm like, we're going to have a good conversation with the community, and we're going to be able to improve the game as we go.
Could have said it better myself. So again, thank you for taking this time to talk to me. So I guess just real quick, Anthem, February 22nd, it'll be on PC, Xbox, and PS4.
Correct. All three platforms, platform of your choice.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate thank you. It.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.